Good evening. Trust everybody's doing well. Good, good. Of course, it's probably about your fourth or fifth time hearing this. You know, we got exams next week. Our exam is going to be on chapter 4. I'm going to start on chapter 4 tonight, but our exam is going to be chapter 4. Of course, we know the book. Our exam is what? Open book. All right, so it'll begin next week. So as a reminder, we will not be in class next week. Tonight we're going to start talking about emotions, one of the aspects of the soul. Last time we were together, I was together with you live, we talked about the body and how important the body is. Your body is your ticket to operate here in the natural. If you don't have a body, you don't have a right to operate here in the natural. Can I prove it? Yes. That's why God uses us to do his will in the earth realm. Yes, sir. He can move in the earth realm. He can cause things to happen, but he always needs a man to be involved to be the catalyst for things to happen. God, as much as he wanted to, he couldn't just save us automatically. He had to send his son Jesus in the flesh to die on the cross for us. And so our body is important, and we shouldn't, you know, religion and denominations have caused us to kind of downcast our bodies. We got to whip this body into subjection. And Paul just simply say, I bring my body under subjection because my body is needed and useful for me to fulfill the will of God. So tonight we're going to start off dealing with the soul. First aspect is the emotions. Now, this one, this part of your soul is, I like to call it, it is the loudest voice, yet it moves the quietest. It's the loudest voice in your soul, but yet it moves quietly. In other words, it moves undercover. Your emotions cause you to do things, and by the time you realize it, you done acted out. You see, so we have to get this is, I think this is why the author talked about this part aspect of the soul first, because this, listen to me, that this part of the soul is the, watch this, it's the actual thing that gives us fuel to do things. You're not going to do nothing that you're not convinced about, that you're not fully persuaded. That's why, you know, we have our environment. Our environment produces our thoughts. Our thoughts produce our feelings, your emotions. Mm-hmm. Your emotions or your feelings cause you to act. Mm-hmm. And so your actions, what you do, bring certain results. So now let's deal with the feelings and the act. There's a reason. You act based on how you feel. So now what if you have unchecked feelings, unchecked emotions? Turn to Luke, the 21st chapter. Luke 21:19. What it says? In your patience, possess ye your soul. So in your patience. So that means that Luke is telling us, well, Jesus is telling us, really, Luke wrote it. Jesus is telling us that you're going to have to take some time to pause and think before you act. You have to check your thoughts before you act. Because remember now, your thoughts produce your feelings. Your feelings cause you to act. I'll give you a good example. All of us has happened to us. All of us has had this happen to us one time or another. You hear somebody talk about somebody in a negative way. Mm-hmm. You have never met that person. Mm-hmm. You don't know that person. You could pick that person out of a crowd. They've talked about that person in a negative way. So you happen to one day just meet this particular person. So you meet this person, and how you think, where your thoughts come from? Your environment. Your environment calls you to think. Your thinking calls you to feel. Right? So you don't like this person. You don't know why. Just because what somebody else say. You done heard some negative stuff, so you got in your mind what you're thinking about them, how you think, whatever it may be. And so now you start acting a certain way, right? So now you acting a certain way, and your actions bring definite or certain results. So now you won't know why they're acting funny with you. Because you started acting funny with them. Based on how you felt, based on what you were told. You see how that works? So what Jesus is saying to us is that that's how life happens to us. If we don't control our emotions, we will do things. If we don't control channel our emotions, we will do things out of his will. Now, if you channel your emotions are good because your emotions give you fuel to do what God has called you to do. I think it's Romans, the 4th chapter. I think it's the 21st verse. I think it's Romans 4. Turn there. Yeah. See, as leaders in the body of Christ, we can't be emotionally pushed around. We can't be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. We have to be solid and stable. If we're going to lead people, if we're going to help get people delivered, we ourselves can't be an emotional wreck. So we cannot allow what people say and what other people do sway us emotionally to act outside of what God has called us to do, what God is telling us to do, what God has commanded us to do. We can't let our emotions cause us to be unpredictable.
Amen.
Look at what it says about Abraham. It says in the 20th verse, he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Verse 21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. So Abraham took God's word to control his emotions, and he became fully persuaded. So when he became fully persuaded, it didn't matter that he was 100 and Sarah was 90. He was fully persuaded that what God said was going to come to pass. So you can use your emotions in a positive way. Jesus in Luke, the 11th chapter, he walked upon Lazarus' grave. The Bible says, shortest verse in the Bible. He wept. He was moved with compassion that caused him to do something. You see that? He turned around, I think he said, God, I know you always hear me. He was moved to do something. So our emotions can be used properly, but we have to channel them. The way we control our emotions, there are three things we must do to control our emotions. Number one, every feeling we have, we have to doubt it. And make sure that's what in the patience come from. In your patience, possess your soul. Every feeling that comes up that it takes us out of the character of God, we have to check it and doubt it. How do we check and doubt our emotions? With the Word of God. Even in our apostolic walk, even our walk with God, the Bible says God chasteneth whom he loves. So even sometimes with our leader, When we get corrected, the Bible encourages us to encourage our soul, to encourage ourselves, even in correction, because if we don't take the word of God and get control of our emotions, after feelings, what come next? Actions. So now you understand, watch this, now you understand why our leaders may do something, we may not agree with it, right? Let me ask this question. We talked about this in the last class, and it just hit us all of a sudden. Okay, we say God told us to be connected to that person, right? So if God told us to be connected to that person, and then that person don't do exactly what we think ought to be done, why we get mad at them and not at God? That's a good question, isn't it? Why we don't get mad at God? Because God the one told us, that's what we said. God told us to be connected to that person. So when that person don't do exactly what we think ought to be done, why we get mad at them? See, that's emotions not checked by the word of God. Because it was the word of God, literally, that said, I want you connected to this person. See, that's why I don't believe in people who come in and all of a sudden say, get mad and then won't leave. That's emotions unchecked. Because number one, God is never going to connect you to somebody that's going to keep you comfortable. God is always going to connect you to somebody that's going to challenge you, cause you to grow. And sometimes growth ain't fun.
Right.
That's why you have to take the word of God and your patience possess your soul. Because sometimes, you know, I watched this guy one time. working, hired a physical trainer. Hired a physical trainer to help him get in shape. Now I'm watching this dude. I watched him do this. The physical trainer giving him all the things to do, and he trying to tell a physical trainer how to train him. But wait a minute, now I'm confused. Why you hired him if you already know what to do? That's emotions not in check. See? So you have to doubt him. All right, you have to doubt him. Doubt all your emotions, because now I got to, that's really, 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 that's 2 Corinthians 10. Turn there, 2 Corinthians 10. Because now, remember now, our thoughts produce our feelings. What we think causes us to feel a certain way. That's why you have to check. I tell my daughters all the time. I'm literally telling my daughter all the time. Don't listen at what he says. Watch what he do. Because when they tell you I love you, that make you feel good. But you got to doubt that feeling and bring it under subjection. 2 Corinthians 10. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought, bringing into captivity every feeling. See, I can say that. Why? Because our thoughts produce our feeling. Bringing every feeling into the obedience of Christ, every thought. So that means if I'm feeling a certain way and it's not lined up with the word of God, I need to go to the word of God and find the correct way to feel and talk to myself till I feel the way the word of God say I'm supposed to feel. Yes. That's why you have to doubt all your feelings.
Yes, sir.
So you have a chance in your patience to possess your soul. Mm-hmm. Are you saying this? Mm-hmm. See, even in the body of Christ, preachers have taken advantage of people with this principle. Because then you got the $1,000 line and the $100 line. Give your seed in the next 5 minutes and God gonna give you a 360 blessing. So if I'm at home struggling, I need to get some more money. I know the principle works. I believe the Bible. And somebody takes advantage of that. So that's why the Bible says very plainly in 2 Corinthians, I believe 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the 9th chapter, verse 7. Let every man, what did it say?
According as he purposes
his heart. What? In his what?
In his heart.
In his soul. You see that in that? In his soul. So let every man purpose it in your patience. So when I give, I'm giving not emotionally. I'm giving because I have decided to do this. I have calculated what I wanted to do. I know the sacrifice that I'm going to make when I do this. I understand this. So when I give on that fashion, there's nothing Satan come tell me after that's going to change how I feel. Are you getting this?
Yes, sir.
See, that's why you got to doubt all. You have to doubt all your feelings, doubt every emotion that come up. I don't care if it's a good emotion. Wait a minute. It's a good emotion. Okay, let me understand why I'm feeling this way. Because once again, like I tell my daughters, it's wonderful when a man tell you he loves you. It's a great thing. I mean, even for a man, it's great when a woman tell you he loves you. But wait a minute, I'm feeling good. But hold on, let me pause, pump the brakes. Let's. Is this sincere?
Right.
In my patience, I'm possessing my soul.
Right.
You know, I'm fine. Wait a minute, you telling me you love me, but your behavior ain't telling me that.
Right.
Is this making sense?
Yes, sir.
So you have to, number one, doubt all your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I kind of alluded to what you do next. Next, you have to control them.
Mm-hmm.
How do you control them? With the Word of God. Your feelings uncontrolled by the Word of God will cause you to be a horrible decision maker. Your feelings unchecked by the Word of God will cause you to be a horrible decision maker, because you're going to make decisions based on feeling sorry for yourself, based on how somebody else think about you, based on how somebody else did you. And so if you don't have the Word of God hidden in your heart and you don't doubt all your feelings and bring them under subjection of the obedience of Christ, then you're going to be making decisions unchecked. With emotions that's unchecked with the Word of God will lead to more destruction. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
So the second thing you have to do is you have to learn to control your emotions. That's why in your patience, possess your soul. If you ever notice, and I love Apostle and the way he does things, and people don't really understand the sacredness and the sanctification and the consecration. I said all the words on purpose. Sanctification is God setting you apart.
Yes, sir.
Consecration is you setting yourself apart for God.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
And the holiness. People don't understand the holiness, the sanctification, and the consecration of altar giving.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand it. Here's what's so sacred about it. It's because nobody forcing me to do this. Nobody ain't telling me I got to do this. This is something I'm doing because I want to do this. The Bible said God loveth a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver is somebody whose arm has not been twisted, somebody who has not been pressured, somebody who has not been emotionally driven. And see, a lot of people don't understand how Apostle operates, how he operates. Man, the preachers, we used to travel all over. And I mean, one year, Lauren was born in the year 2000. She was born in March of 2000. That particularly, I remember it very plainly. That year, 2000, we traveled over 500 hours in the air.
Wow.
That means we were gone Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night. We back on Wednesday night for Bible study here. We go on Thursday night. We go on Friday night. Saturday, we try to rest because he got to preach on Sunday morning, and we're going back again Sunday night. Mm-hmm. And people, that's when money cometh, people want to hear money coming, but they want to hear it for the wrong reason. Mm-hmm. I remember many times he'll walk into the pulpit. Sometimes he'll walk into the pulpit. He'll walk to the pastor's office, walk to the pulpit. They say, hey, Brother Thomas, good to see you. Would you receive tonight's offerings? Out the bat, ain't no, hey, how you doing? How was your trip? How you feeling? None of that. It'd be good to see you. Would you receive tonight's offering? And so it turned out that people began to try to abuse the gift that God had put on him. But then God spoke to him and told him, I want you to start receiving your own offering. Number one, what that did was it eliminated everybody who wanted to try to use him to receive an offering. You must learn to build people.
Yes.
You build people, yes. Money ain't going to ever be no problem.
Yes, sir.
You build people, money ain't going to ever be a problem,
yes,
if you build people.
Yes,
Paul said that in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, the 11th verse. He said, if I sow unto you spiritual, then I should reap of your carnal.
Yes.
Let's flip that around. Paul was also saying, if what I'm telling you ain't caused you to go be successful in that world, then you ain't got nothing that I can even look forward to. So Paul was sowing first. Paul said, what I'm telling you is going to cause you to be successful wherever you are. And when you are successful, I know you're going to come back and sow where you get that. Build people, money ain't no problem. So people don't understand, back to my point, people don't understand how preachers, I know they watch it on the internet. People don't understand how apostles standing there preaching and all of a sudden somebody walk up with a $1,000 check. That ain't happening everywhere. And the reason why is there is an atmosphere that is created where God is in control.
Yes. Yes.
Not no scheme, not no emotionally driven. Nothing, none of that.
Right.
It's you do this because you say this is what I want to do. Mm-hmm. You know how a lot of times they try to use the widow with the barrel of meal.
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah, I think it'd be Elijah. Mm-hmm. With the barrel of meal. Preachers try to use that scripture.
Mm-hmm.
But they leave out one simple detail when they try to prop up the man of God to receive the seed. They leave out one small detail. And they all leave it out. All of them leave it out. They all leave it out. The Bible told Elijah, get thee to Zarephath. For I have commanded a widow woman to sustain you.
Mm-hmm.
That means God had already talked to her.
Yes, right, yes. Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So it wasn't no emotional spill that Elijah had to give.
Mm-hmm.
Elijah went to Zarephath, ran across the woman,
mm-hmm,
and the woman was like, I got water. Then that's when his prophetic anointing kicked in and say, oh, you got a barrel of meal.
Mm-hmm.
Thus said the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Now, anytime somebody say, thus said the Lord to you,
mm-hmm,
it should be a confirmation.
Amen. Amen.
And so them giving you insight is saying, I did hear from God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, God, I did hear from you.
Because
how would they know to tell me this? Unless it was you, because I didn't tell nobody.
Right, yes.
Are you getting this?
Yes, sir.
So therefore, it was no emotional attachment to this.
Yes.
She was able, watch this, and you know she had to pause to think about it, because she had to go back to fix it. So she's sitting there fixing it and baking it and thinking about this. She could have easily ate it.
Right.
And never come back to Elijah. But she had time to contemplate this and understand the sacrifice that I'm making, that my son and I could possibly die. But I heard from God. So this ain't emotion. So now watch this. She became fully persuaded. So she, thank you, Holy Spirit. So she took her emotions, doubted them, allowed the word of God, came out of the mouth of the man of God to confirm what God had told her. So she was able to do what she was able to do, fully persuaded.
Mm-hmm.
So she changed her emotions from being fear,
mm-hmm,
to now I'm fully persuaded.
Yes.
And it's giving me energy to do what God is telling me to do. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. So we have to doubt it. Doubt the emotions. Check them. Put them in check. Control them. And last, channel them. One of my favorite stories in the Bible of emotions being channeled is Jesus walking into the house of prayer. He sat down and made that whip. Put that whip together. And whooped them all out of the house of God. That's emotions being channeled. Y'all, to give you back on what was happening, they was messing over the people. The people had to come out of town, had to give sacrifices, buy doves, and all this kind of things. And they was in the house of prayer, gouging them people. People had to travel, so they couldn't bring their doves. They couldn't have doves. They couldn't have a sacrifice to give. So they had to get to the place where they get the sacrifices and had to buy them. Well, them priests and all them was sitting there, dove $10, they sitting there charging $50. So they gouged the people out. Jesus said, y'all not going to do this up in here. And he was angered because they was abusing the people. Anger, the Bible says, be ye angry. He didn't say not to be angry. He said, be ye angry. That's channeled emotions. How many times you read that the anger of the law was kindled against them? That's channeled emotions. That's emotions that are in check. During the early 1900s and in the 20s and the 30s, had all those great evangelists, revivalists. And they would have these Jack Cole and all these guys, A.A. Allen, they have these meetings. And one of the things that you would see that they had compassion, if you're watching the video, they had compassion, but then they had anger when they would see how Satan was deforming some people's body, how cancer was wrenching somebody. They'd get angry. And I watched one video where Jack Cole snatched a growth off a person's face, just snatched it off in anger, just snatched it off, channeled emotion. Emotions that are, number one, doubted, then controlled, then channeled. So you're going to have to learn how to do this because God is going to ask you to do some things. And sometimes you're going to find yourself in situations where you're going to have to possess your soul. And say, okay, God, somebody done you wrong. Okay, God, how you want to do this? How you want to handle this? I've been there before. Somebody do you wrong, and you ready to go off. But then you gotta say, God, okay. Okay, God, okay. I'm gonna calm down. How you want me to handle this? You see, so you got to doubt it. You got to control it, and you got to channel it. Doubt it. Control it and channel it. Now, in that doubting it, it brings it under subjection of the word of God. Watch this. In the controlling it, it allows you, this is the beautiful part about it. You realize how powerful you are. In the controlling it, it allows you to change it if necessary. That emotion could be changed as necessary. You feeling one moment you're in fear, but as soon as you say, hold on. I give you a prime example. I'm going to close with it, give you a prime example. Leroy III was about 5 years old, and he was having trouble breathing, and he coughing up phlegm and having trouble breathing, and so breathing was labored. So we took him to the emergency room. When we brought him to the emergency room, the doctor said, oh, my God, it ain't looking good. So when he said that, Chantel hit the wall, just slid down the wall. When he said that, I went, I don't know if I went numb or whatever it was, I went numb. And I couldn't hear nothing. And I heard the voice of God. The voice of God said, listen, he's an emergency room doctor. Everything, every case he sees is an emergency. So everything to him is traumatic. Trust me, I got this under control. Pull my wife to the side and say, this is what God just told me. Talking about emotions being checked now. So you can go from fear to faith. I pulled my wife to the side, told her what God told me. They got him checked in, went upstairs, went to the pediatric department. We sitting in the room. The nurse walked in, said, hey, he a cute little fella. And we went to write and said, okay, I see the doctor. Now, mind you now, what's on our mind? God says it's going to be okay. But then the doctor told us, I got to go with God, say, right? So they're not telling us nothing else. So Lord, last thing we know is, it ain't looking good, but God said, I got under control. She walked right in and said, okay, I see it. He got bronchitis. We about to put him on a couple of breathing treatments and some, we can put him on IV and everything will be fine. Now, listen at me. This is key, listen at me. If I had not heard the voice of God, shared it with my wife, we'd have had our mindset, our environment, producing our thoughts, causing us to feel a certain way. So now we actually make the case worse without that word from God.
Yes.
Are you seeing that? Mm-hmm. So when you're able to doubt the feeling, mm-hmm. bring it under subjection, you're able to, watch this, control it, mm-hmm. the word of God. When you bring it under subjection, you put it under the word of God. The word of God now is in control. God, I'm only believing you. So when God said that, now my emotions begin to change. I became confident getting out of fear because I heard the voice of God. So we get to the room, and the whole case the whole time was not an emergency. But if we would have stayed there, we would have made it an emergency. We would have.
What else is wrong?
You get what I'm saying? So when you doubt that feeling, I don't care what happens in your life. Remember, don't forget this. I don't care what happens in your life. I don't care what event comes up. In your patience, possess ye your soul. I don't care what it is. Possess ye your soul. When you possess your soul, you say, soul, mind, shut it down. That's how you do it. Shut it down. I know what I heard, but I'm shutting it down. God, okay, what you saying, God? What are you saying to me? Let the Holy Spirit be able to minister to you. That's where hiding the word of God in your heart comes, hiding the word of God in your soul. See, when you hide the word of God in your soul, you're able to quickly, you got to run for your Bible. You can quickly begin to control that emotion and let the word of God bring it into the obedience of Jesus Christ, then you can channel it. See, in the hospital that night, I was able to doubt it. Mm-hmm. With the word of God spoke to me through word of knowledge, control it, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Once I was able to control it, now I was able to channel. Mm-hmm. Are you saying this? Mm-hmm. You have to doubt it, control it, and channel it. That's how you control your emotions. You have to doubt it, control it, and channel it. See, the word of God and operating in the supernatural, a lot of people think is, I don't want to use the word spooky, but they think it's no. God is very methodical. The Bible said the Spirit of God, the Spirit moved upon the face of the water. God spoke, let there be light, and light was. That's very methodical. Certain things happen. So walking in the supernatural, sometimes it's methodical. Certain things happen. I doubt my feelings, control them, channel them. The Word of God is involved the whole time because in my patience, I'm possessing my soul. I'm giving the word of God a chance to bubble up on the inside of me, mm-hmm. to tell me how I ought to feel.
Yes.
So now the beautiful thing about it and how powerful we are is I can tell myself to stop being scared mm-hmm. and be in faith. I can tell my, with the word of God, I can tell myself how to feel.
Yeah.
Then I can take that emotions and channel it. Mm-hmm. Is that making sense?
Yes, sir.
So, I mean, ooh, Holy Spirit, ooh. No, it's very methodical, man. When you, a situation come up, in my patience, I'm possessing my soul.
Mm-hmm.
I'm controlling this emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm in my controlling, I'm going to change it to what I want to change it to.
Mm-hmm.
Then when I change it what I want to change it to, then I'm going to channel it. What I mean by channel it, now that's how I'm going to behave.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to act accordingly. You know, you're not going to ever forget this. Doubt it, control it, and channel it. Don't you ever let yourself get out of control emotionally no more. Don't you ever, you know, oh, man, husbands and wives, this is beautiful. Beautiful. You doubt it? I don't care what they told you. You doubt it? You control it? Then you channel it. I promise your house will change. You doubt it, you control it, and you channel it. Remember my wife, we don't agree on everything, but our disagreements are not arguments. Our disagreements are, we're going to find out the best way to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You might not like my way, I might not like your way, but we ain't about to get into this out of control emotional bit
right.
to where now we start to say things to each other that we really don't mean.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's easier to doubt it, control it, and channel it than have to go apologize for some stuff you said you shouldn't have said.
That's right.
It's much easier. Exams next week. Of course, our mind is open book. What chapter?
Four.
Emotions. We're going to finish emotions the week after. Y'all have a good night.